we go. My eye. Let's go. I got time. I'm on. Hey, listen, I got a lot to say. All right, shh. I got a lot to say. I got a special guest here that's going to sing a little bit. And so I got a lot to say, and I got to say it. But I want to take your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter number 5. Luke chapter 5. The reason I'm going there, I'll tell you in a moment on this particular chapter. Luke chapter 5. I love this story. I love this story. Luke chapter number 5. Let's all stand for the reading of the Word of God. We can do that very quietly. Luke chapter number 5 and verse number 1. Are we all there? Say amen. Amen. Luke chapter 5 and verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the Word of God, he stood by the lake of what? Exactly. Gennesaret, right? Is that good? He's in my class. Amen. Praise the Lord. And saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and we have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when he had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled with both the ships, so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the son of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Verse 11. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the Bible. Thank you for truth. Thank you for this great story, Lord. I pray that you'll use me, fill me with your power, Lord, today, going a couple different ways, but I believe that at the end of it, as we close out, that, Lord, that your name will be glorified and honored, Lord, because it's really all about you. It's all about Jesus. And, Lord, thank you for this time and opportunity. Thank you for the opportunity to speak in chapel. Thank you for Brother Douglas and asking me, and what a privilege and an honor to be here today. What a great group of young people we have here, Lord. Pray that you'll bless each and every one of them, Lord. Watch over and protect them. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Simply, the title of my message is How to Make Your Life Count. And I got a quote in the front of my Bible that I've had for a while. I want you to listen to this because we have some new people here, I guess a great crowd of new. Welcome to Hiles Anderson College, a new freshman. Some of them are returning. That's tremendous, Brother Douglas, isn't it? Just a great return. I love this quote. You can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending. You can change the ending. How to make your life count. That's a quote from C.S. Lewis. When I use the word count, I speak of value. Because how to have a valuable life and how to live that life makes a big difference. And you've heard it yesterday. You heard from Pastor and Brother Douglas and many men that have preached here before. But God's got a purpose and a plan for your life. You got a valuable life. And God has given you that life. And you have chose Hiles Anderson College to come for training, to graduate and get a degree and go out and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. But how to live that life makes a big difference. A great tragedy when life is lived less than its full potential. And Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse 10, you might have life and have it more abundantly. I thank God for the life that God has given me and the wife that my wife... that God has given me, the wife that we've had for 56 years. And we've had a wonderful life. God has given us 3 beautiful children and 8 grandchildren. And we were together for the first time in a couple years this past Christmas. And what a wonderful thing to have life and to have young voices in the house. And just, it's tremendous. And I enjoy life. I enjoy coming here in the morning and getting up early and being with you. You encourage me. You encourage me. And in turn, I hope I can be encouragement to you today. I'm convinced that God wants our life to count. Why are we here? Why are we here at Hiles Anderson College? Why are we here at this chapel service today? Why have you chose this college, a Bible college? It's not a secular college. This is a Bible college. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And where the King James is used exclusively. A Bible college. Let me give you five principles that have helped me. Each principle is designed by God. And let's look at this story. We see here, and I was there a month ago. I was at the Sea of Galilee, and that's where this story takes place in Luke chapter 5, and that's why I chose this. Because I was there by the Sea of Galilee, and that's where this happened. This is where Jesus walked on water, and Peter walked on water, and many miracles performed at the Sea of Galilee. He spent 2 years of his ministry around the Sea of Galilee, okay? But Peter was a great fisherman. They all were. It's amazing how God spoke and took these rugged fishermen and made them his chosen disciples. But they were out fishing, and they were discouraged. They came back, and they caught nothing. All of a sudden, Jesus appears on the scene. He gets into Peter's boat, and he starts teaching them, the Bible says. Again, these men were professionals. They knew how to fish. And Jesus enters the scene. He starts teaching them from Peter's boat. And I think I know what he was teaching them. At the end of the message here, I think I can elaborate, and I believe what he was telling them. Peter was told that go out into the deep, launch out into the deep. And here's the question. Why the difference? The first time they caught nothing. The second time, the Bible says they caught an abundance of fish and the nets broke. Okay? Now, you ask yourself the question, and I asked myself the question, and I'm sure they did. The second time they went out, same ship, same lake, same boat, same nets, different results. Why? Principle number one. I'm going to give you five principles very quickly. But principle number one is they had the presence of Jesus Christ. They had the presence of Christ. Jesus makes the difference. Christ makes the difference. Jesus still makes the difference. And if you want your life to count, you got to make sure Jesus Christ is in the boat. Amen? You want your life to count, make sure Christ is in the boat. Now think about that. How can I get the presence of God in my life on a daily basis? I did so this morning. And every morning, 7 days a week, I have my devotions. And God spoke to me this morning through His Word. I had the presence of Christ in my living room this morning through His Word. Somebody say amen. Amen. Secondly, I got the presence of God in my life in my prayer life. I spoke to God and He spoke to me. I got to have His presence. And you need to have His presence. Doesn't matter what age you are or how busy you are. You have got to have God's presence in your life. If you want to make it here in 4 years and get a degree and walk across that platform, you need to have God's presence in your life on a daily basis. You can't go a day without it. You've got to have it. Principle number one, you've got to have God's presence. Number two, we see the guidance here. Let's look at verse number four. Now when they left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Look what he said. Now Peter's talking here. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will lay down my net. So we see here guidance. We see here's Peter's reaction. Now he was a professional fisherman. Nevertheless, you know what? Peter's own heart, he knew how to fish. No question about it. But in his own heart, he's probably saying, Jesus, this is not a good time to catch fish. This is really not a good time. Have you been there? Sometimes when you question the Lord, God, this is really, you really want me to do this? Is this what you really want me to do? But Peter said, nevertheless, it may not be a good time to fish, but because Jesus, you said it, I'm going to do it. Yielding to the Holy Spirit of God, yielding to Jesus. And think about that. Guidance. My life verse is Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, lean on to thy own understanding, and all thy ways what? Acknowledge him and he shall. How many believe that? Trusting in the Lord with all thine heart. Principle number 3. The principle of absolute obedience. I love the song, Trust and Obey, for there is no other way. Look at verse number 11, where we see this absolute obedience. In verse number 11, where they were, and when they had brought their ships to land, they what? They forsook all and followed him. They laid down their nets and said, that's it. We're following the Messiah. We're following the Savior. They forsook all. That's what I did in 1977. I sold my home. I sold everything. Lock, stock, and barrel. Packed up a truck. Headed to Hiles Anderson College. Got a home on Kennedy Avenue in Schererville, Indiana. What did I do? Forgot the past. That was the past. This was a brand new beginning for my wife and I and my family. I forsook all. And I left what I had back there, and this was my new beginning. And you freshmen, and whether you're sophomores, juniors, and seniors, this is your beginning of your life and your journey. And God wants you to finish that journey. He wants to finish what you start. The principle of absolute obedience. I surrender all. Principle number 4. The principle of human influence. Wow. The principle of human influence. Listen to me. When your life really counts, you will touch others. When your life really counts. Brother Douglas gave us a book yesterday in devotions, and I brought it home, and it's an excellent book. Let me give you a quote that stood out at me, and I thought, boy, how important encouragement is. This is a great, don't miss this. People go farther than they thought they could when someone else thinks they can. Woo! Isn't that good? People go farther than they thought they could when someone else thinks they can. I was getting ready to go up from devotions, and I went over to Brother Collins, and I think he's sincere. He jabs me a lot, but he said, took my hand, and we shook hands, and he says, I'm praying for you, Brother Froelke. There's not one person here that doesn't need encouragement. Not one. Every one of us needs an encouragement. I want to do that. You encourage me. There's a young man sitting in these chairs today. I won't mention his name. But when I was a pastor, it was a Sunday night and things were a little gloomy. My counseling session didn't go real well. The offerings, we didn't meet our budget. And I went outside and I couldn't even see my hand in front of my face. It was one of those real dark nights on a Sunday night and whatever. And so I was kind of dejected, a little depressed and whatever. But I'll never forget that. I was just about ready to open the car door. And I heard this small voice from just a young boy about this size. Small voice, and he said, I love you, Pastor. Wow. That's all I needed. That's all I needed from a small boy. He sits here today. We all need encouragement, don't we? The principle of human influence. Many individuals have encouraged and touched my life over the years. And I must hurry. The presence of God. Divine guidance, absolute obedience, human influence, and number 5, eternal focus. Look at verse number 8. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. Number 8, eternal focus. They saw it. What did they see? They saw, look at me, they saw the eternal instead of the temporal. They saw the eternal rather than the temporal. They saw God's ability instead of our inability. They saw an extraordinary life instead of an ordinary life. I don't want an ordinary life. And you shouldn't want an ordinary life. You should want an extraordinary life. Someone that counts for Jesus Christ. And they saw a God-centered life instead of a man-centered life. Let go of the pride. And let me go back to verse 1 again. I had the privilege and honor of going to this trip to Israel in December. Brother Douglas was there last year in Israel, right, Doc? I had the privilege of going there, and what a trip. I preached for a long time. I've been here almost 8 years. I've never been to the Holy Lands, hardly ever been traveling, but what an experience to go to the Holy Lands, to see where Jesus walked. It opened up my eyes in the Word of God where my Savior was, the Messiah. We were at the Tiberias for 4 nights, and then, of course, we went up to Jerusalem. And as I said earlier, I said of how many miracles that Jesus performed around the Sea of Galilee. Numerous miracles. You read about them in the Bible, where he walked on water. Nazareth, where Jesus grew up. Saw where Mary and Joseph lived. All those things. 4 nights there, and then finally, on the 5th day, we took a bus and we headed towards Jerusalem. And for some reason, that bus that night, they sang a song. And I'm going to have Mrs. Bicknell come at this time. And I want you to hear the song that they sang that night. Mrs. Bicknell.
I stood in old Jerusalem beside the temple there. I heard the children singing, and ever as they sang, I thought the voice of angels from heaven an answer rang. I thought the voice of from heaven in answer rang. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, lift up your gates and sing. Hosanna in the highest, changed. The streets no longer rang. Hushed were the glad hosannas the little children sang. The sun grew dark with mystery. The morn was cold and chill. As the shadow of a cross arose upon a lonely hill. As the shadow of a cross arose upon a lonely hill. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, hark how the angels sing. Oh, once again the scene was changed, new earth there seemed to be. I saw the holy city beside the tideless sea. The light of God was on its streets, the gates were open wide, and all who would might enter, and no one was denied. No need of moon or stars by night, or sun to shine by day.
So we were in Jerusalem, and we went to the city of David, Pool of Shalom. Then we went to the garden, where Judas tree in that garden is over 2,000 years old. Jesus probably walked by that tree, where he shed his blood, drops of blood, in the Garden of Gethsemane. Then the final one we went to, Brother Nibby, he was a graduate from here, am I right, Brother Nibby? Works in Jerusalem, he's a missionary, and now he's working in Jerusalem. And we had the honor of him, he's working the tomb, the garden tomb. And so we were in there, group, and we went over there, and he went on about the garden tomb. And he gave us 13 points why he believed that this was the tomb where Jesus was taken after the cross of Calvary, and he was placed in that tomb. And he went through all the points. It was a garden, the skull was broken off a little bit. He said it was a garden, a roadside went by, which there was. And then that tomb. And he said, Brother Froki, he said, but you know, he said, you know, the most significant thing about that tomb. And I said, what is it out of the 13 points? What's the most significant thing about that tomb? He said, because the tomb was empty. Amen?
Amen.
I serve a risen Savior. Tomb was empty. That's why I brought this message today. I was there. I saw the tomb. And I thank God that it's an empty tomb. I serve a risen Savior. Just think, if that body never would have left and Mary Magdalene would have gone in there, we'd still be in our sins. Have you thanked the Lord Jesus and God for raising Jesus, that he is alive today? We don't have a dead Savior, we have a living Savior. That's why you're at Hiles Anderson College today. None of us would be here today if the tomb was not empty. It's all about Jesus, isn't it? You know what this college is all about? It's all about Jesus.
It's all about Him. And I'm sure I'm very inept to do what I'm talking about today. I'm just an old sinner saved by the grace of God. But I'll tell you what, that old book I've been preaching with for 35, 40 years, it came alive. That my Jesus walked. Well, I walked where my Jesus walked. The person that I've been speaking about for all of these years was there. He really loves us, doesn't he? I'm going to ask you to stand. When is the last time you thought about Calvary? When is the last time that you thought about the empty tomb and the resurrection? You know, that's the gospel, the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ. That's the true gospel. It's got to be the death. The first greatest day is what? His birth. The second greatest day is His death. And the third greatest day is the resurrection. And thank God the fourth day is yet to come. Amen? And He sits at the right hand of the Father. So college young people, I know you're busy, you work nights, you got classes, but never forget the basics and the fundamentals of what it's all about. It's all about Jesus. Slow down and smell the roses. It's all about Him. Thank God for the empty tomb. Can we do that today? I want my wife to join me, Mrs. Froehlke. Can we pray today and thank Jesus for the empty tomb? Can we pray today? Brother Douglas, I want you to lead us in prayer. The invitation, whatever you want to do, I'm not looking for, you know my heart. If you love Jesus, you want to thank Him for the empty tomb, all He's done for you when He saved you and hung on that cross for you and I, at least we can kneel down and come to our knees and say, thank you, Jesus, for what you did for me. Don't get so hung up with things. Take time to worship Him, praise Him today. As you come, you join me.